3, 2, 1. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the PVO show presented to you by Nerve Rage Entertainment. And I am your host, DLP the Prince. Today, got a lot of things to talk about, man. We haven't had any new episodes in a while. I want to give a lot of people out there the opportunity to be able to, you know, catch up on the shows. Catch up on those last episodes that we put out. We put out a lot of different episodes out. I was definitely pushing some out there, you know, during that time frame. So now we're back. Got a couple things to go over. Been watching some new shows and stuff like that. And there's a really good show that's on HBO that I caught. It's called Love Life. The show that I'm watching, the trailer I saw, it was on Twitter. I was looking around and I seen this trailer pop up because it's this guy that was in the movie Midsommar. He's getting his lead, his opportunity to lead in something. So this was big for this actor. The show feels good, and it's the second season, not the first season. That kind of threw me off because when they were advertising it, and I was like, oh. All right, it already has a season. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's see what they got. Now, when I went into it, and the first season has a different story arc with someone completely different, and this is the second season, so it moves over into someone else's love life. So I get what they're doing. They're changing the narrative every season, so I like that. So I may get around to watching season one. I watched the first episode. It didn't really grab me a whole lot, but the second season is very relatable, and that's what we're going to talk about. Really, what I catch from this show, this guy, he's already been married, you know, saying been with his wife for like a couple of years, about 4 years I think they've been together, but then they were together before that in grad school and all this other stuff. So they were together for a while before they got married, but it kind of feels like right off the bat, you kind of feel like this guy's just kind of just going through the motions. And that's pretty much kind of what you see. And I mean, spoiler alert for anybody to just go ahead and stop this. If you really want to see this with every dynamic and you don't want to hear anything, it already starts off bad because, like, he starts building this relationship with a whole nother person. And it's kind of like the intent was already shown that, like, you are up to something, man. Because, like, what other guy gets up, goes in a bathroom, turns the shower on, and proceeds to email somebody hoping that they're going to email them back? You know what I mean? So you like watch it for yourself, to judge for yourself. But what I want to go over is just what I kept seeing in this is a scene in the episode. And it's really crazy how this first episode really breaks everything down and then just hits you with a bomb kind of at the end, because it's building up. And the whole time you're watching it, you're like, yo, this shit's going to explode. And that's exactly what happens for him. You know, and that's his fault. Like, the character, he's trash. He's an asshole for what he did. Like, when you see the last part of the episode, what happens to him, how everything, like, falls down for him, and I'm trying my best not to give away everything. Like, he deserves it. Like, he fucked up big time. Like, he had this bullshit-ass moment of clarity. Where he's like, you know what? I've always known that I actually love my wife and I've always cared about my wife. I don't know why I let, you know, say in my mind think that I could have possibly for someone else. I don't know why I would have thought, you know, I could have hooked up with this other person. They got somebody else and that person ends up being some big ass dude, you know, saying a well-known celebrity, well-known athlete, you know, like now you've found this clarity that, you know, yes, you have a wife. You should have been at home. You shouldn't be out here hanging out with somebody else. You shouldn't be out here doing these other things with this in the back of your mind as thought. So when it all breaks down for him at the end, it's just like, yeah, you fucking deserve that, man. Like when I saw the scene as he walks in, to his apartment, and he sees his wife just like reading his text and stuff. Like she's just fucking heartbroken, man. And well deserved. The shit that he was up to with the girl, like, what were you thinking? Like, really, what were you thinking? And one thing I want to go over is this. So I'll give this one away. And this really caught me off guard because this was big for their marriage. He's black, his wife is white. The woman he ends up trying to talk to is black. And there's a scene where I forget whether she texts him or he texts her, and I think it was her. Have you ever looked up photos of ugly white babies? And I was like, excuse me, nigga, what? Is that a thing? Because I know we're not gonna sit up here and act like if we caught, seeing a couple white people talking about looking up photos of ugly black babies, like we wouldn't be like angry as fuck. So like when they added that in the scene, when she's going over everything that, their conversations back and forth, she's literally just like, what the f-? Like she's really devastated. And you don't get to see the fallout of their arguing and all of that. But you know, when everything's done with the two of them, you knew right off the bat, bro, you're an asshole. Like you fucked up, man. I mean, you fucked up on a whole nother level because it just questioned everything. There's another scene that these two have where he honestly feels, and he's been feeling like he doesn't know his own identity sometimes. He kind of like doesn't know even if she knows his identity. He asks her if she, what does she think about who he was, if there's somebody that he reminds her of. You know what I mean? Like, is there anybody out there that he reminds her of? And the first person she said was Obama. And he was kind of like thrown. I mean, he was pissed. Like you could clearly see it in his face that he was pissed. And she was like, at first, like she was reluctant to say anything because she was like, "Is this a setup? Like, what the fuck is this? Like, what?" And like when she answered it, she was like, "You wanted to do this, like not me. Like you literally asked me." And he's like, "I know, I know." And she said Obama. And he's like, "Why?" She was like, "You're calm, saying you got leadership, saying qualities, but like you don't get angry, you're able to stay calm and cool." Like when she explained herself, it didn't seem like, all right, this white girl really doesn't know her black husband at all. Like she doesn't see him as a person. First off, you wouldn't even be married. Like if we just like doing bullshit dialogue on like on TV just to get views, then go for it. But like the reality is, if you've been together with someone this long, you got to take part in it yourself that you allowed someone to basically just not see you. Like you allowed that. You got to the point where you were not being seen, that you got married. That's weird. Like, why the hell would you go through a marriage and all of that and feel like you're not being seen by your partner? Speak the fuck up. Like, talk. So I wanted to talk, really, because it's more than that situation. There's a lot that's going on here, but one of the biggest things that I saw within myself, within this guy, is here's a guy, he's a black man, and for him, he's saying actually a successful black man. He is a book editor. I'm guessing at a publishing company or whatever, or a Mac, saying it's, I guess I want to say I get he's at a publishing company, and he's a book editor. So he helps writers finish and polish that book so that they can actually get that book out there for the people. And he said he makes about like five figures or whatnot, saying substantially well, five figures. And you're doing great. You know what I mean? Like where he lives at and everything for the whole premise of the show. This black man on paper is doing great for himself, but there's a guy that he's that he's really taking notice in, because he's an author, and he really likes what the guy's been creating. He's got sci-fi, he's got something, he's got this whole idea that really latches on to the character. The character really is digging this book and wants to bring this author in, because he's a young guy. He wants to help him get in and get that book out. The guy comes in, and you can just see that the guy's more of a, saying, for the show premise, he, saying, represents the streets a little bit more, right? Sees the main character for what he is, what he thinks he is, and kind of just feels like he's being played. As soon as the guy's literally trying to tell him, like, hey, I want to help you get this book out there properly. And he was like, oh, I already know what that means. And he's like, no, that's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to take anything from you. We're not trying to destroy your work. He goes, what my job is to do is to help you get this polished so that we can get this out. And then guy kind of felt like, all right, you just wasted my time. Plus, you're just the black faces they threw in front of me, And he went to his friend, who's also just just seems like a his friend Yogi. I don't know why I can't remember the main character right now at the moment, but he went to his buddy Yogi, and he's talking to him, and this guy is just like, he's like, he ain't dab you up or nothing. He gave you the agent handshake. So that was a little funny little premise, but it just goes over the different layers of blackness that exist out here. All the time, a lot of us are always trying to find our identity and fit. How we, basically, like, how do we fit into this world? There's people out there that have us boxed into a category of blackness, like for black men. I got a lot of people out there that will, say things about me where, like, you're the whitest black guy I've known. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Saying I'm the whitest black guy you've ever seen because you don't see me getting locked up all the time. I'm the whitest black guy you've ever seen because I treat the majority of people that I come into contact with respect. I don't say, like, when I talk, for the most part, I talk clearly. Saying everything that I say isn't perfect or anything like that. But, there's some people out there, not me, saying got a little vernaculars and stuff that they say. Things that they do, a certain way that they kind of talk. They got that special way that they talk that's very different than everybody else. The stereotypical young black guy that's out there, where you really, when that person walks away, you don't want to understand what the fuck that motherfucker was saying. That shit's annoying. But I like this show because, saying it kind of covers all of that. You get to see different versions of black men, black women, black gay women, black gay men, all of that, like all of the above. It's got a little bit of a mixture of all of that. But like a lot of black people, we come in different shapes and sizes, just like everybody else. And it's just for ourselves, there's something that we have to work on as far as our identity, trying to find ourselves. Like, get in where we can fit in. But we also have to, it's really damned if you do and damned if you don't. Because it's sad, as a black man, as a black woman, like, you literally gotta fight with your own fucking people. Like, really, you really gotta fight with your own people. If you're doing a little bit, saying a little bit good, somebody will strip you the fuck down just because you're doing better than them. And they'll tell you, oh, you've always had a silver spoon in your mouth. Excuse you? What? You don't know where I came from. You don't know what I go through. That shit. This is annoying. And that actually kind of happens in the scene where the guy's trying to tell him, he's not liking what he's telling him because he wants to help him put this book out there. But he kind of goes over like, yo, I really do like your work. I love your work. Saying you are talented, man. I'm trying to help you so that we can get this book out there. And the guy just really didn't want to fuck with him. But he was treating him like he was a Poindexter black man that was just kind of like a fake black man. And that That's the shit I'm talking about. We have to like literally fight with ourselves before we also have to go back out there in the real world and also fight with white people too, just to exist. And it's stupid. Like I thought long and hard about like how I wanted to word things. Like it really made me think, you know, saying just growing up, you know, I always joked about like when I moved down here to Maryland, I joked about myself pretty much being Token from South Park, because like that's really kind of like what it was. When I moved down here, I was like, within my group, I was the only black guy every time. You know what I mean? And I fit in with, you know, with everybody. I can make, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast. I was able to make friends with anybody. If you good to me, I'm good to you. That's just the way I see things. It's the way it's always worked for me. I've never pick no sides or anything like that. Like, you know what, like I'm not fucking with y'all, I'm just staying with my, you know, staying with my peoples over here. Like it's a big ass world, you know. There's no wrong with making a couple of friends, and there's nothing wrong with just being decent to anybody else out there that's decent with you. If you don't fuck with me, I won't fuck with you. It's a real simple philosophy to live by, you know, and to go by. But like really just being black, man, I guess I would need a little bit more time to really go in depth, but I can only just go back off of, you know, just in just my life. It's always been the same growing up. Like, literally, I've spent more time fighting with my own, really, than, you know, saying than anything. If you date one white girl, that's, you know, there's people out there that literally put you down because they like, yo, you dating outside your race, you don't give a fuck about yours. Like, you want that shit over this. Like, it's not even like that. For me, I always tell people I don't want to hear that shit. Because for me, it always, you know, like, it didn't matter. Whoever was knocking, like, hey, what's up? Because I wasn't taking care of myself for a long time. Kind of gave up. I had no confidence in school. And when I got out of school, it didn't get any better. You know what I mean? You sitting there just wishing somebody would want to do something with you. I'm looking at some of the ugly ducklings, you know, ducklings that had somebody, you know? So I was always like, you know, anybody had a shot. You know, if it happened, it happened. And that's just the way I always, you know, always was, you know, raised. I got lucky. My parents, you know, they, you know, said there never was any forced upon, like, hey, this is who you will marry. This is, you know, saying this is the family you will create. That kind of stuff is kind of shown to you if you're just observant. You know, I looked at all of my family members and everything growing up. Everybody black. Black queens everywhere. You know what I mean? You know, black men in the family everywhere. The foundation was there. Talking to my fiance yesterday about this, that like I grew up in an area in Texas where black men and Hispanic fathers were all throughout the neighborhood. Like, all black fathers and Hispanic fathers were all throughout the neighborhood taking care of theirs, doing what they were supposed to do. Had an old school way of looking at things, because that's just the way it was, but they did what they were supposed to do. They beat whatever bullshit stereotype that exists now where everybody thinks that, you know, black men just put out babies everywhere. That's not true. You got a lot of fathers out here. Don't none of them get no fucking credit half the time. You know, there's a lot of us, you know, and stereotypes really suck, but you really have to fight with your own more than you have to fight with anybody else. And I'm just liking the direction of where the show was going, because it made me think about all of that shit, man, like right then and there. The guy even is like looking at his parents and how they kind of just were like, they didn't really take to her. They didn't take to his wife, but he also didn't do, I guess, a better enough, you know, he didn't do a good enough job really, you know, saying, handling that better. You know, it really has to do more with him than anything, but it takes the edge off when you have a supportive family. You know, I got lucky. My fiance, her family, you know, saying they took me in immediately. So when my mom met, you know, saying met her, you know, saying it helped that, you know, I knew what kind of mom, you know, kind of dad I had. and they already have that relationship now where, you know, saying anytime they see each other, that, you know, they talk when they do, you know, saying they're excited, they're, you know, saying they're happy. It's a, you know, it's a good thing. It's a family thing. It's not, oh God, I got to go talk to his fiance. I don't know why I got to go talk to this girl. It's great when you, you know, saying when your family accepts this person that you want to bring into the family, you want to bring into your life. Dude, that support means so fucking much. And it's different in this day and age now. There's a lot of interracial relationships out there now. So you sometimes don't know until you get around the family and bring them around and see how everybody acts. But it's great when everything goes the opposite of, you know, those negative thoughts that you may have, man. It's just great when everything just works out the way it's supposed to. Everybody's happy, everybody's good, and that's a rare thing. But as far as, you know, saying us black men, do what you gotta do, you know, saying to learn who you are. And then once you learn, you know, saying who you are, do the best that you can at, you know, accepting it. Now go live your life. You know, I think it's wrong if any of us out there don't figure out our shit and we go out there and we just kind of go through the motions with another person. That's a waste of that person's time. Don't do that. And don't do that to yourself. That's really like the biggest thing I can think of. You know, I would never do that to my baby. I couldn't see myself without her, you know, either. And I've been going over this because, like, I know, like, now with this, the way things are now with the internet now, and just, you see a certain, there's a certain mindset amongst black folks now. Like there's a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of confusion. You know, people are asking questions but not asking the right ones, pointing fingers and just upset. You know, we're gonna talk more on this, and I'm gonna get some I'll try to get some other people's, you know, to bring in on this thought process. Because the best thing I can say is that just a lot of us, you know, as black folks, man, we just come in different layers, man. It's different layers to this shit. You know, I just want everybody to, like, just to know, though, like, that's the unique part about us. It's about all of us. We are uniquely different. And it's not a bad thing at all. It's a great thing. So many good qualities, you know, saying about you, just having, you know, just differences. There's even, I've been trying to watch Insecure as well, because I never watched the show. A lot of females were watching the show, and I didn't really, if I see a lot of females watching the show, sometimes, honestly, I won't watch it. It's, I don't know, a lot of females can kill the vibe on the show real quick, especially if it's a male lead. If it's got females in it, then we cool. But if anything with like a male lead or a movie with a male lead that they like, that they think is hot, I kind of usually take a female's like review with a grain of salt, especially when she uses the word hot. If she immediately uses the word hot to describe the star, yeah, we're done. Like, we're done talking about this show, because I know you're focused on hot. That's the only thing you're focused on. But if you guys get a chance, check out the show, Love Life Season 2. Like, man, that first episode at the end, man, he had it coming for him, man. I was actually happy that she found that shit and she ended that shit, because there was no salvaging, like, the ugly white baby's part. There's no salvaging that shit. I mean, there was other things he said that was fucked up, but, like, really, when I saw that part, I was like, God damn. Like, nigga, you have a wife at home who happens to be white. What the fuck are you doing? Like, what the fuck are you doing? I even like his friend in the show. His friend Yogi, that nigga is a real one. That's me right there. Yogi told his ass, go home, bruh. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now? You need to go home. And real shit, I wish we had more men out here like that. Yogi is a real one. This man is taking care of his kids, doing family man shit. Which I gotta say, yo, I feel like a whole bitch sometimes. Like, I'm 35 and I just, like, I don't know. I just love seeing, like, my fellow men out here doing daddy shit. I don't know why, but I really, like, love seeing that. It's just, it's a tide that needs to kind of just be shown around. So I want to give a shout out to this Dad's on Duty, hashtag Dad's on Duty that I saw circling around on social media. Like, this story sounded, started off really fucking bad. About this school district that really was just having all these problems. And this the school in particular, you know, they was getting a lot of fights. I mean, they even said that they had like 20 fights in a day happen. And then something unique showed up. Dads started coming in droves to the school and started walking around and started helping kids get to their classes and just being around, just being present. And the fighting has stopped. The kids are going to their damn classes. The kids are joking with the dads, you know, as they're going to class. Like, the whole tide has completely turned around for this whole school. I mean, on some real shit, that was the dopest story I heard in a long ass time. There's nothing that like makes me more happy than to see a group, of black men that are all fathers that just they saw a problem and they fucking solved it. You know, they got involved in their kids' schools and helped these kids have an opportunity to focus on what they went to school for. You're there to, you're there to learn. You're there to have, you can still have fun. But, fighting, the possibility of you showing up with a gun on you or something like that, that has nothing to do with fun. It's the complete opposite. School can be absolute hell, depending on what school you go to, depending on what school district it is, wherever. But I just think something like this, for areas that need it, keep doing this. I remember that was a couple of years ago there was school districts out there where they had dads would show up for the beginning of school. They would show up so that, as the kids are walking into class and stuff, those dads were all right there, cheering them on as they were going into school. It's stuff like that that's just so fucking dope. That's the most gangster shit right there. Fathers being fucking fathers. That's some gangsta ass shit. Like, fuck all this other nonsense, man. I'm talking with my boys the other day, once you get to a certain age, you bring some of these kids in this world, man. You start, I would hope that your brain starts, clicking in the right, in the right directions. It starts clicking and starts showing you that, what's more important? This dumb shit that can get me locked up or get me killed, or being on some grown man shit and taking care of my responsibilities, being in my kid's life, being involved, doing stuff. I would love so much right now to have a child in this, to bring a child into this world and be there at their school, encouraging them, hey, go have fun. Go be a kid. Get to your class, go talk with your friends and stuff. Go have, go enjoy yourself. Shit's dope. So, real talk. Shout out to the fathers right now. All y'all doing daddy shit right now. Big shout out to you guys. You guys are amazing. Let's move on. Another show. Anybody, if you guys are football fans out there, man, I was a huge Friday Night Lights fan. So, Netflix has, I think Netflix has had Friday Night Lights on there for a while. But if you've never watched this show, and there's actually a few people that haven't, if you don't mind football, even though the show primarily, caters around the football, there's a lot of other stuff that's in there. I mean, hell, Tyra. Pyra's character with her mom, they could have had made a show. They missed out on a lot right there. They could have made a show with her mom, and her sister Mindy. Man, they missed out big time. That could have been a spinoff show right there. You would have had to show now one football game if you really wanted to, and just showed their life and showed all the shit that they were going through. And I promise you, you got yourself a dramatic ass show right there. They missed out big time. Huge missed opportunity. But if you've never seen Friday Night Lights, this show is awesome. That coach Eric Taylor, the guy that plays that character, man, he's just fucking awesome. Just how the third season was so fucking dope. How he was just like, yo, I need a fucking win. I need a win right now. You know, he got smashed in the college. Smash didn't think he was ever going to play college, you know, saying play college ball. His knee wasn't the same. He got that kid into college, man. He went and got him a tryout, made sure he stayed on him, just getting him to just, you know, just get his legs back under him. Everything, man, that, you know, got his mental back there. Like, it was just everything, man. I love that show. If you've never seen Friday Night Lights, you know, saying check it out. Season 2 is trash. Season 2, I will say, though, is trash only because the story arcs that they made in that show for Season 2, they fucked up. They fucked up big time because the Writers Guild went on strike. I still remember that bullshit. You know, if there's anybody in Hollywood that listens to this on some real shit, fuck y'all. The Writers Guild went on strike because they wanted more money. These are the same people that, mind you, even though they weren't making, some of them wasn't making like crazy, insane amounts of money for a script. I still don't think that's bad. You made $15 to $20 million to write a script. Come on. Like, all writers literally all went on strike. TV shows that were actively on all got ruined. And Friday Night Lights ended up being one of those shows that got impacted big time by this. I mean, Season 2 really came in hard, and it bombed because, like, you know, those story arcs didn't end properly. There's one character in Season 2, Santiago. I want to say his name was Santiago. He got not adopted, but I guess he was like an orphan. I think he was an orphan. He didn't have a family. He didn't have no parents or anything like that. And he got taken in by Buddy Garrity. Buddy Garrity, you know, took a shot on taking him in. And the kid was a good dude. I mean, he was, you know, saying he was a good kid. He was involved in some stupid shit, but he really showed some humility. You know, he even, you know, took on some of his close friends just to get his stuff, you know, get this stuff back for Buddy Garrity, because, like, it's not his house. You stole his stuff. Like, I gotta go get the shit back. I can't have him thinking that I'm just gonna stay in his house and steal his shit from him. You know, I'm not like that. I'm not that person. Like, he was a good kid. So a lot of these stories didn't get the right, you know, like, spinoff at all. You know, they could have done something with that character as well. But if you ever get a chance, Friday Night Lights is just dope. Goddamn, man, there's a lot of it can get emotional, man, especially in the later seasons when they went to East Dillon. Yeah, you definitely saw that. A lot of people slept on the fact that Michael B. Jordan is in the last two seasons 4 and 5. He's in. Great job. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's definitely a good one. And let's finish out with Nappy Thoughts. Now, this is going to be a rough one because there's a lot of men out here. They'd rather basically just die. There's a lot of men out here that would probably rather just die than let anybody know that they may be going through something. But I'm here to tell you, as a grown-ass man, if you need to, within your own time, you do what you got to do. And if you got to let it out, go let it out. Don't hold that shit in. That's my nappy thought. Don't hold that shit in. Don't kill yourself because you want to be prideful in front of your family. especially any of your friends. If you can't cry in front of any of your friends, you don't have friends. I'm here to tell you that right now. I don't care how long you've been friends with this person. If they fucking laugh at you, make fun of you, go around telling other people, yo, man, you should have seen that little bitch. I'm here to let you know you just found out you don't have a friend right there. Because who the fuck is that person to look down on you or to make fun of you for being at your lowest point? I highly feel that if you call yourself a friend, anybody out there really considers themselves to be a friend to a whole nother human being, if that person cannot be at their lowest around you and like really need your help, then you really need to just let that person go so that they can go find somebody else maybe that can hold that duty, because obviously you can't. So again, my nappy thought is today, though, honestly though, is if you need to, man, cry, you know what I'm saying, go, you know what I'm saying, if you need to, you know, take some time to yourself in a room by yourself because you don't want to, you know, do it in front of anybody else, I fully understand that. But if you need to get that shit out, don't hold that shit inside of you and kill yourself. Don't hold that shit inside of you and, you know what I mean? Like, just put a hole in your heart, you know? Turn your heart black. Don't do that shit to yourself. Let it the fuck out. There's a lot of stuff that we hold in. There's a lot of men over our past. I was talking to my fiance yesterday. I never saw my dad cry, really. I don't think I've ever saw my dad cry. Maybe at my grandfather's funeral, but other than that, you know, saying that man never cried in front of us. And if that's the thing where you know, saying that pride, you know, really hurts you that much, still, and within your own time, if you're by yourself, you need to do it, man. And don't, and I'm not with it. If I got a listener that's like, yo, what is this man on? Like, if you need to cry, cry. Don't hold that shit in and, you know, saying it really, like, literally kill yourself, especially us black men. Half the time, a lot of us don't live that long. And a bunch of us got way too much fucking pride. But I told my fiance yesterday, I'm like, I'll tell you why you don't see a lot of men crying. Because it's used as a weapon against us. It's used as a weapon against us by other men. And the worst of all, you know, saying is your own woman. You know, saying your spouse. There's women out there that will use, you know, they will use that as a moment of weakness for you. They'll use that and weaponize it and turn it back around on you. And that's sad because you should be able to trust your spouse. But if there's any of you that do have that spouse that's there, you know, that's why that person is there. So make sure you open up. It only will help, you know, the both of you. And make you guys stronger. It lets you know all the time that that person was brought into your life for the right reasons. Like, when I'm down, that person is there to help me, or at least try to help me get back up. That's the whole point, you know, of a relationship. There's give and take. But, you know, there's sometimes, man, I need help. And, like, that other person has to pick up the slack. So do with that what y'all will. That was our nappy thought. Like always, man, I love talking to you guys. Hopefully you guys check this episode out. Please share this episode around. If anybody sees my post on social media, please share them, please. Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook, please like it and share. Just trying to get the podcast out there to a lot more people, you know, saying get more listeners brought in. That's the whole point. So I love you guys. And until next time, this is the PVO Show.